You're listening to a Mornings with Kelly and Steve podcast. Be sure to check us out every weekday morning from 6 to 9 on Moody Radio.
We are getting ready for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald, so stick with us. Jeff Mosier is here filling in for Steve. Steve's out on vacation. He's going to be back next week. Biblical Worldview Question of the Week, by the way, is how can I be certain that Jesus died and rose again? Nancy's going to be joining us in just a minute. So, again, do stay with us. We're getting connected. We had a little bit of a technical issue, so we're working on that. Can you tell I'm killing time, Jeff?
Absolutely.
This is what we call a stretch in radio. Oh, I'm getting two thumbs up from Eric. We got Nancy.
Right.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Good morning, Nancy Fitzgerald.
Oh my goodness. I think there's somebody out there who doesn't want us to communicate today.
Well, that's so. Just too bad, because God is greater and we're live on the air. Say good morning to Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, I'm such an admirer of yours. So it's so nice to just listen to you this morning.
Oh, we've had a ball, Nancy, and the same's true. I've always enjoyed listening to the Biblical Worldview on Tuesdays with you on the air, and it's always exciting, always interesting, and you respond well to questions as they come up one at a time. So it's pretty good. Nice to meet you.
Hey, can I jump in here? Does anybody love me? Does anybody love me?
Oh, hi, Kelly. Hey, Nancy, should we let Kelly stay in the conversation today or not?
I think we're in big trouble if we don't.
Yeah, she's got control of all the buttons over there, and it looks pretty intimidating.
I'm just going to go hang out with our listening family. Oh, wait, they're all hanging out with you. Okay, I'm going to go get a donut and some coffee. I'll be back in a half hour.
Yummy.
But anyway, hey, we are ready for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. This is Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away, which you can connect with at anchorsaway.org. And I love your question today, just coming off of Holy Week and Easter Sunday. This is so perfect, Nancy. And I think, you know, really, I was telling Jeff earlier how you minister to young people, high school and college age, that really need to develop that biblical worldview and know how to answer questions about their faith, defend their faith, and be firm in their faith, especially, you know, knowing that they're going to be challenged when they age out of their youth groups and leave home, et cetera, go away to school and everything. But this is a question for everybody, because, you know, as we're going out into the world to minister the gospel, there are going to be people that would have, and I think it's a reasonable question to have for someone maybe who's not ever grown up in church, has no knowledge of the Bible whatsoever, and maybe they're just hearing about Jesus for the first time. How can I be certain that Jesus died and rose again? That's a pretty fantastic story.
It is an incredible story, a great question. And I think the heart of this question is pure and simple, and the truth of this is very, very few people can actually answer this. I think the majority of people who call themselves Christians, identify as Christians, would say, yes, I believe, but then again, it's just a story that comes from the scriptures. The idea of really placing your heart into the scriptures, knowing that the Bible is true. It's not just a fantasy. It is true. And once these young people, once everybody, but especially these young people, understand that these are not mere religious stories, this is a true documentation of God himself giving his son to come to earth to actually live. And we can verify that this actually happened in a multitude of ways, so that he could die for the sins of our own sins that would allow us to have fellowship with God, a holy God, and live forever with him in heaven. We need to do this. And I'll tell you, one of the lessons that we teach is the Bible reliable? And we teach it through the story of the death and resurrection of Christ. And this is the interesting thing. We have more young people coming to Christ as we answer this question than any other lesson we teach.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just are amazed that there really was this person. He's not fictional. He's for real. And he loves them personally. It is amazing. But again, to get into this question, as we worship a God who has proven himself to be faithful to his word, you know, when he makes a proclamation and we can trust it to be true, and this whole idea of a God who is holy, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, He is all present. There's no hiding from him. He's all loving. We don't deserve to be loved. Humans can't love us, but God can, kind of thing. Where he is kind, he's merciful, you know, he's with us when we don't deserve it. He's asking us to come to him filthy with our lives we've messed up. And he doesn't see the filth, he sees our heart. And he is good, forgiving, faithful. He's all of these things. And we can never do anything that conflicts with his attributes. He is who he says he is. He is always. He can't divert from those attributes. And once we know this, you know, and we understand his faithfulness to us, it should be overwhelming to us, because God's plan from the beginning, before we were the formation of the universe, was that he was going to send his son to die for us so that we might have eternal life. And it's throughout the Old Testament, and this is the amazing thing when we really get in and look at the Old Testament. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the Old Testament. I don't need it now that we've got the new. Oh, please. You know, the Old Testament, it was through the Old Testament that God made it clear that Jesus was the Messiah and would come to earth to restore his relationship with all who believed in him. This is the thread through the Old Testament that makes sense of the New Testament. God shows prophecies to settle any doubt we might have about the death and resurrection of Christ. Now, these messianic prophecies were made hundreds, sometimes thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. So it's not some random roll of the dice. There are no surprises to God. He knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, even before Christ was born, God's son is without sin. Therefore, the only person who have ever walked on earth to fulfill every prophecy about the Lord's life, death, and resurrection comes through the scriptures. Everything about Jesus, everything is there. From Genesis to Malachi, there are over 300 specific prophecies detailing the virgin birth, even the details of being born in Bethlehem, in his birth from Judah, coming through Judah, his lineage through David, his sinless life, his atoning work for the sins of his people, his death and resurrection is documented completely in what we call prophetic scriptures, those scriptures that peek into the future and tell us what's going to happen. But a long, long, long before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ really did occur in history. So all these things were there for the Jews to study, for the Jews to read.
So, Nancy, what you're saying is that song that we all know, Jesus yep. loves me, this I know. How do we know mm-hmm. that? Because the Bible tells me yeah. so. The greatest proof for the validity of Scripture is the validity of Scripture.
Totally.
Exactly what you were saying, that literally,
totally.
The history of Israel, the coming of the Messiah, all prophesied, all proclaimed hundreds of years, sometimes by name, an individual who a prophet speaks hundreds of years later is going to appear. Yeah. And the prophet names them by name hundreds of years before they were ever born. So yeah, I love what you're sharing. The greatest proof of the validity of Scripture is the validity of Scripture in human history. That's
yes.
awesome.
And there is you can't refute it. This is the thing. You can be mad about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't believe it.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, if you're going to be truthful to yourself and truthful just in general, you cannot refute the validity of the Scriptures. It is an amazing study that we do. Just looking at the prophecy, just that. The first prophecy, and I think it's so interesting, Jeff, is from Genesis 3:15. Now, this prophecy came after Satan, who is the servant who deceived Adam and Eve by questioning God's character. Did God really say, you know? But
right.
yet, even though they walked with God, they chose to believe Satan, who told them that they would become as gods. See, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Every cult from the beginning of time promises that you can become a god. It's so interesting to me. This is the initial lie of Satan, that they could become gods if they followed him. Now, the judgment for disobeying God is eternal death. But again, according to his nature, God in great mercy foretold thousands of years before it happened that his son would overcome Satan to save the world. Genesis 3:14 and 15. Here is the first promise that God says, they have sinned, but they're mine. When he said, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you, all above livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he, Jesus, will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And this, I'm telling you, it is overwhelming, and it should be overwhelming to us as we look into this, and we let's just look at the birth of Jesus foretold in the Old Testament. If you think that this was just a birth that had to happen randomly in Bethlehem, no, it was planned before the beginning of time. 1,445 years before the birth of Christ, in Genesis 22:18, all the nations would be blessed through Abraham's offspring, his seed, and that is Christ. Jeremiah 23:5-6, that's 630 years before the birth of Christ. Jesus would be from the line of David. Micah 5:2, 750 years before the birth of Christ, that Jesus would be born in that little town of nothing called Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, 800 years before Christ, Jesus would be born from a virgin. Isaiah 9:6-7, and I think this is probably the most common, beautiful verse that we have from Isaiah. A child will be born, and the government will be on his shoulders. And that goes on and on to describe the nature of Jesus, which is identical to the nature of God. Psalm 72, 1,010 years to 930 B.C., that Jesus would be worshipped and given gifts for his birth. So there you have it. And it goes on. And then what prophecies tell us about Jesus's life. Again, Psalm 40, Jesus would be the perfect sacrifice. 2 Samuel, Jesus' kingdom would be eternal. Isaiah, the ministry of Jesus would begin in Galilee. Isaiah 40, Jesus's ministry would be predicted by a voice calling in the desert. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 53, Jesus would be despised and rejected. Isaiah 61, Jesus would be anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. Zechariah 9:6, the king would come riding on a donkey. In Zechariah 11:13, Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And here we have from the Old Testament exactly lining up with the New Testament. It is there. This is insane, this book, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have, again, the death and resurrection foretold. This was no, God had perfect control over this. And we think those horrible people that made it, if only somebody had just stood up to Pontius Pilate and said, no, don't crucify. No, this was planned before the beginning of time. Listen to this from Exodus. By the way, this is 1,446 years before the birth of Christ. Exodus. Jesus would be the Passover lamb. Exodus 12, none of Jesus' bones would be broken because he died. They didn't have to break his bones. He was already gone. And that's why that spear was driven into his side with the blood separated from the water, proving that he was dead so they didn't have to break bones. Leviticus 17, that Jesus would die and pour out his blood for the atonement of sin. And, you know, that's 538 years before he was born. Psalm 22, lots of them, that Jesus would be forsaken, that Jesus would be mocked, that Jesus' mouth would be dry, that Jesus' hand and feet would be pierced before there was any such thing as crucifixion. And this Psalm 22 is so amazing. It describes crucifixion before there was crucifixion. Psalm 22:18, that lots would be cast for Jesus' clothes, that Jesus would commit his spirit to God in Psalm 31 and 38, that Jesus would ascend to heaven. And this is, to me, when you look at the odds of one man fulfilling all these prophecies, it is absolutely overwhelming. Peter Stoner is known for, as Science Speaks, for the work he did in finding out the probabilities of one man fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament, the odds of one man fulfilling all those prophecies. And it is absolutely amazing when we think about it. The odds of one man fulfilling only eight of those prophecies is what it's, and he says it is the chance that one man might have fulfilled the eight prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. And what he says is just for eight prophecies, the odds of one man fulfilling it is that number, 10 to the 17th power, which is, he says, drawing a picture for us, covering the state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars, marking one of those and dropping a blind man in the middle of it who is, you know, can't see, and he randomly picks up one of them. That's just for 17.
Wow.
And these numbers are absolutely overwhelming. When we think that man cannot think beyond 10 to the 50th, but yet we are so limited in our understanding of how great the probabilities of one man are to fulfill all these prophecies that were made. And coming from science, and he's not the only one that has done probabilities based on the people that were living at that time for one man to have fulfilled this, is beyond human understanding, beyond human thought. And this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about pie in the sky here. We're talking about people through time who are bright, who are scientists, who are readers, who are writers, who have tried to disprove the death and resurrection of Christ, and they cannot even begin to make a dent, because God made sure that this event, the most important event in human history, could not be diminished by the foolery of mankind. This event is insane from our point of view.
It is astounding, because there are so many prophecies. They are so thorough. They are so detailed. And only one person in all of history fulfilled every single one, every single detail. Every single detail fulfilled of every single one. And that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
This is how we can be sure.
We can be sure. And this is the thing. The fulfilled prophecies could not have been manufactured. You can't say, well, yeah, he just did that. No, that was 1,400 years before his born. What do you mean? He just did that. There is no way. And God set it up through time, through the Old Testament, that whole line of years and years and years. One after the other prophecy would surface. There's more proof that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised again for your sins than any other event, when you think of it, in human history. No event is greater than this. No one has been able to disprove the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Well, and take on top of that the fact that here is a man, we know him as the God-man, but here is a man who's teaching, and at least four times he told his followers exactly what was going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten beyond recognition. They're going to crucify me, but don't worry, boys, I'm coming back in 3 days. Now, at least four times he said that, and obviously, they didn't understand what he was saying. They were scared. They weren't expecting a resurrection. They didn't grasp it. But yet, at least four times, he told them in advance exactly what was going to happen. What human being has ever predicted his own death, let alone his own death, burial, and resurrection ahead of time?
Well, this is the amazing thing, though, Jeff. I think it is a bit astounding. You know, the Roman guard was posted at his tomb. There were 16 of them. And if anybody broke into that tomb, they would all be killed.
Right.
They would be posted on a... They put a stick in the ground. They burn their clothes, and they burn them to death. That's the penalty for letting somebody go out of their guard. And why was the Roman guard posted there? It was posted because people heard Jesus say that he would rise again.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it was, this is the thing, it wasn't the disciples.
Right.
They were scared. They were gone. It was those that heard Jesus say, I'll raise again in 3 days. That, and they went to Pilate, those who heard it, and they said, you need to post guard, because he said he'd raise again. That's why they were there.
Yep.
That is why they were there. And it is, when you study this stuff, oh my goodness, it is insanely wonderful that God, right down to the T, took away any doubt that we could have. And I think there are people out there that say, well, that couldn't have happened. Well, from a human point of view, his death, life, burial, resurrection couldn't have happened from a human perspective. But God is far beyond the way we think. He's far beyond us in our nature and in every other way. But yes, it did happen, and there's more proof for this. So again, you know, people say, well, scientifically that couldn't happen. Well, that's your science is disruptive, dishonest, because it's been plagued with your bias. in but pure science without bias. If you go, the history of archaeology proves the Bible to be true. You know, the of course, prophecies, the way it was written, all of it. The places that people are saying, no, these never existed, and lo and behold, all of a sudden they do another excavation someplace, and there it is. We can be sure of this, sure than anything in our whole life, that Jesus Christ lived, that he was born, that he lived, and that he died and resurrected. And honestly, I think for all of us through the studies, we have proof of the Bible being the inerrant word of God with the security of knowing that Jesus is who he said he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on to say, no one comes to the Father but by me.
Yep.
You know, for all who believe, receive me. And this, he's made it so simple.
You know,
but
I...
Yet,
go ahead, Nancy.
No, I'm just saying it's so simple, but yet even the wise stumble over this, wouldn't you? Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, I know we need to check in with Randy Aulis, but I know he's listening in our back channel, and he has a gift of evangelism. That is, his heartbeat is for that 100%. And I know you are fueling his fire right now because he's hearing everything you're saying. And this is more information for him to be able to share with people, which I know he already knows all of this, but it is so helpful for all of us to hear this broken down this way and to be able to share with other people. I appreciate you doing this for us this morning. This has been good.
Yeah, great stuff.
So good. Want to let all of you know, as we always do, to check out Nancy's website. Get connected with her. It's anchorsaway.org. Find out about worldview and leadership training there, and you'll be able to listen to this conversation again. We'll get this audio over to you, Nancy. But again, thank you for this. We love and appreciate you. You are awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, we talk about this stuff. It's so exciting. You know, for me to do it, but and hopefully just to know how much we're loved and not to be discouraged, to keep going. And if people come up against you, as you were talking about earlier, you know, Jeff, you said expect it. Yeah, expect it.
Yeah.
But let us be known for the way we listen to people. Let us be known by the way we love. Let us be known for as people who show no favorites, but live only for Christ and Christ alone.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.